Now, if it's not carbon-based life out there, what then could it be? What are the possibilities?
That has been one of the best, greatest of all science fiction questions, hasn't it? When I was a kid, it was always silicon, aliens, and that was before computers. Little did we know that that wish really would be answered, and we would have all these damn computers running our lives. But they're not really alive, are they? Not alive enough. They can certainly screw up, but they don't fix themselves.
Not yet, anyways. They're not alive.
Surprisingly, there's kind of a closure in that, and some other scientists, chemists, who have really been thinking about, if it's not carbon-based life, what could it be? And there's not a lot of elements. You can't have iron life or helium life. There are certain chemical aspects. You've got to be able to bond things together. You have to have reactions. And it turns out that carbon's really good, but there's, at certain conditions, very cold temperatures, you can bond carbon with silicon. And there's a whole new class of structures called silanes. Silanes are, I think, the holy grail of silicon life. It's not silicon life. It's carbon silicon life, and we could find them on Titan. So this is some of the coolest new stuff. It's only a year or two old in its research, but people in the Institute have been building organic compounds out of combined silicon carbon at very low temperatures, and there's every suspicion that metabolism can be invented by these things too.
Okay, explain carbon and its relationship to life and then silicon.
Now, carbon is a really, really good element to be using for life because it can bond to lots of different stuff. It readily takes on bonds with nitrogen, with sulfur, with phosphorus, with oxygen, hydrogen, all the stuff that you need for organic molecules. But these bonds can also be broken without too much problem. And the real problem with silicon life is you go out and look at a hunk of granite. It's really hard stuff. And the reason it's hard stuff is that silicon minerals are really tough.
Right.
They don't break easily. Carbon coal is much softer in many respects.
Mm-hmm. You can crush it with your hands,
indeed. Yeah. And so a lot of the compounds made out of carbon for very similar reasons have a lot of chemistry that they can do. Probably the best reason that carbon works so well and silicon doesn't was pointed out to me again by my friend Don Brownlee. He said, look, Peter, go look in a chemistry library and look at the books which describe all the carbon compounds. That's called organic chemistry. And the number of compounds that carbon produces, it's mind-blowing. It's like an encyclopedia. And then he said, go look at the book of silicon compounds, and it's a really thin comic book. Carbon can just do so much, silicon so little. So pure silicon life is probably impossible, but again, at low temperatures, you have the best of both worlds.
Well, are there any other possibilities? I mean, does it have to be just carbon, silicon, combination of the both? Is there anything else out there?
No, almost nothing else. You've got to build structure, unless you're talking about life that's purely energy, and we don't, by our definitions, don't think that could really exist, unless you have life in solid, and I think chemistry suggests that there just won't be enough chemical reactions in a solid, and there won't be enough chemistry in a gas. It's got to be in liquid, and once you're in a liquid, it almost has to be carbon.
Okay, or the silicon, if that proves out to be.
Yep, at various temperatures.
But nothing else.
Yeah, nothing we can think of that seems to work. You know, it's depressing.
So give me a definition of aliens, and I don't mean those people running across the border.
Well, aliens have already been produced in this country and in Europe, and I mean real aliens. And my definition of Earth life is that it uses DNA,
mm-hmm.
and DNA has the same genetic code that every bit of life on Earth that we've ever looked at has, and that it uses the same 20 amino acids. So amino acids are the building blocks of proteins. And Darwin was right. It looks like all Earth life came from one single source because we all use the same amino acids. So in the last 2 years, both of those sort of templates for Earth life have been broken down. In microbial size, people have now built DNA that uses a different genetic code. It works perfectly fine, but it is not the same code that the rest of us use. And in second experiments, they have convinced a bacterium to start using non-traditional amino acids. So based on sort of genetic fingerprinting, neither of these could be fit upon the tree of life as we know it. These are now alien creatures. They look like not much, But from a chemical standpoint, they're unlike anything on the planet or anything that's ever been evolved.
When the pathologists or doctors are, you know, trying to find, let's say, a criminal, and they're comparing DNA to DNA, what are they really doing here, Peter? Because with two individuals, for example, how similar, first of all, is the DNA code, and then at what point does it change?
Oh, it's very similar, as you know, and even look how different we are from a chimpanzee, and yet that's only 1% difference. But for instance, if we took this artificial DNA creature and you tried to give it one of these sort of O.J. Simpson DNA tests, it won't work. I mean, it's such an alien that that test will only work if you have a DNA code like our own. You won't be able to use any sort of method, and this is what's very cool. Our current test for detecting life depends on it being life with the same code as our own. And one of the dirty little secrets is we may bump into life and not even know that it's life when we get out there.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely. I mean, is it possible you could have rocks that are alive that
yep.
walk and move?
Not so much walk and move, but one of the definitions, one of the earliest ideas about non-traditional life was by a very interesting guy here on Earth who said that you could, mica itself might be an actual very primitive form of life. Mica grows, it evolves, it reproduces.
Mm-hmm, good point.
And so he has this very beautiful world of clay life. The guy's name is Karen Smith. And in my book, I talk all about that as a possible other type of life on Earth.
Back on this planet, deep in the sea, we're beginning to find creatures that we never thought existed before, and that's on our own planet.
Yep, and that's exactly right, George. There very well could be non-traditional, non-DNA life here on Earth, because once again, how do you recognize it? You give it a DNA paternity test. You can't pass that. 20 years ago, a Nobel Prize winner said, hey, we should start looking for non-DNA life. It could be here. And the one he wanted to look for was the precursor to DNA life, which was RNA life. Before DNA came RNA, and that stuff could still be hiding deep in the ocean, as you say.
What about nanolife? Is that possible?
Yeah, that's another great point, George, is that we have the sense how small can life be, and Earth life really does have a minimum size. And the big argument about whether or not those were bacteria on the Martian meteorite
mm-hmm.
was that they were too small, therefore not life. And yet others have now begun to say, well, wait a minute, that's Earth life you're talking about. What do you mean not life? Why not nanolife, as you said? And there are certainly possibilities that could be.